chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we continue our study through the Gospels. And Jesus has been ministering in and around the Sea of Galilee in that area. Last week, he departed up to the northwest of there, to the coast of the Mediterranean, to the areas of Tyre and Sidon. And tonight we'll see that he comes back to the area of the Sea of Galilee, but he goes a roundabout way. And so we want to learn about that tonight as we see prophecy fulfilled about the Messiah and Jesus working and healing and going about doing good. If you're able, let's stand together. Mark chapter 7, we'll begin at verse 31. Mark 7, 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they brought unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great love and your mercy towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you have power to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And above all, that you can heal our sin sickness, that you can forgive us and cleanse us and make us right before you. I pray to you, Lord, as we study about your great power to heal tonight, that we would be reminded that you have great power still today. Lord, may we trust in you. May we look to you. And may we just faithfully serve you each and every day. Forgive our sin. Help us now. Bless your word. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would make decisions for your glory. Lord, as you convict our hearts, we would repent. We would trust in you. We would make decisions and steps for you for salvation and baptism and church membership and to move forward in areas of service. Whatever your will is, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict and we would be obedient tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we'll see that the deaf hear and the dumb speak. And this account is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 and 31. And there it says that he came nigh to the Sea of Galilee and went up to a mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so there Jesus is gone from Tyre and Sidon. That's up, if you will, to the northwest of the Sea of Galilee, if you got a Bible map in the back of your Bible. And he comes across the Jordan River and south along the eastern shore, the Sea of Galilee, to the area of Decapolis, or 10 cities, is a region of Roman cities. 10 cities, that's Deca, 10, and Opolis, or whatever you want to say, is those cities. So the 10 cities of that region, and he comes around that way. So it's actually very far out of the way to get back to the Sea of Galilee. But we find that Jesus always has a purpose. As he went there, he went up to a mountain, he sat down, and many came to him. They brought to him those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and Jesus healed them. And of course, we know the lame, they could not talk, the blind could not see, the dumb, it didn't mean they were idiots, it meant that they couldn't speak. Okay, so when you read that in your Bible, don't think it's just talking about, well, we use dumb today to say somebody's ignorant. But dumb means that they could not speak, and maimed, and that could be any kind of malady. Maybe they had some kind of deformation, or they were injured in some way, and their hand was deformed, or whatever it might be. And Jesus healed them. And we find in verse 32 of Mark 7 that they brought to him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And so this man could not hear, and this man could speak, but he couldn't speak clearly. So it's likely that this man wasn't born deaf, but that something happened to him later. Either a disease or an injury caused him to not be able to hear. And if you've been around somebody who can't hear very well, they many times can speak, but they can't speak very well. I worked with a guy for a long time with my dad who couldn't hear very well, and it affected his speech. If you can't hear yourself talk, it's hard to learn how to talk right. And that's the way this man was. And so there was something wrong, either a deformity or some other thing, that he couldn't speak right and he could not hear. And they brought this man to Jesus and they besought Jesus. They pleaded with him to put his hand upon him. It's interesting to me that they didn't say, heal him, They said, put your hand on him. You see, they knew enough about Jesus that there was power in the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There was something to that, but experientially and biblically in the Old Testament, there was something to that laying on of hands and what that meant. It was an imparting of authority. It was a dispersing of power. When you put your hand on somebody and they were saying, Jesus, put your hand on him, put your power on him, put your authority on his life. And they pleaded Jesus to do that. Now, if you take Matthew's account, Matthew 15:30, it just says they cast them down at Jesus' feet and he healed them. But then we have this example of Christ's goodness here in Mark 7:32 and following. And they bring him one and they say, please, they plead with him to put his hand on him. And I want you to look at what happens at verse 33, because Jesus, we see him healing many in the New Testament. And we see specific accounts of people that are healed. But there are some things that are unique to this account in Scripture. And we want to kind of try to understand those things the best we can. And a lot of times, and this is the case tonight, the Bible doesn't explicitly say why Jesus did things the way he did them. But we try to understand them the best we can and see what we can glean from the Scriptures tonight. So we move on here in verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. So Jesus takes this man away from the multitude. He sat down, the multitude comes, they bring all these people to him. But when they bring this man to him, he takes him aside, the Scripture says, away from the multitude. So this is a private thing that happens between him and this man. So it wasn't something public. Normally, Jesus did things publicly so everyone would see his power on display. But for some reason, he takes him aside. So first of all, he takes him aside. Then he does something else that's a little different. He takes his fingers, Jesus takes his fingers, and Jesus put his fingers in the deaf man's ears. That's the second thing he does. Then the Bible says that he spits. Now, there's a couple of times in Scriptures that the Lord spits. He spits on the ground and makes spittle. He takes his spittle and makes clay and puts it on a blind man's eyes. What's that all about? And now he spits and I know it's not explicit in the language, but my understanding is this. Jesus spits on his hand and then touches the man's tongue. That's different. And some, you can't be grossed out. It's Jesus, so you can't be grossed out by that at all. Shame on you. Some of you think that's gross, and this is Jesus we're talking about. I'm going to give you a minute to feel bad about that. So Jesus sticks his fingers in his ears. Then he spits and touches the man's tongue. So that's four things that he's done. And then Jesus looks up to heaven. And then after he looks up to heaven, he sighs. He breathes out. And some of you know what sighing is. Your children do it a lot. But it wasn't that kind of sigh, an exasperated sigh. But it was Jesus taking in a breath and breathing out, I believe, on the deaf man. You guys with me? He breathes on the deaf man, and then Jesus speaks. Number seven, Jesus speaks to the man. Okay, you guys with me? Everybody with me? Anybody else think this is a little different? It's a little different. But I want to tell you some things about it that I believe are the reasons why. Number one, Jesus took him aside. Why? He did it so this would be a private event. You need to understand that Jesus isn't only concerned for the multitudes. He's concerned for the individual. Amen. You need to understand also that mankind, we are prone to worrying about us and what people see about us. And we want people to see us and thank us and see how powerful we are and what good we do. But Jesus did this privately, and I believe it was a demonstration of humility. You remember Jesus wasn't alone. His apostles are following him everywhere. And I think the Lord wanted them to understand it's not always about everybody seeing what you do. Because what God does, what you do for the Lord privately, God will reward openly. Amen. Amen? And so there's some humility there. There's a teaching lesson for the apostles. And it goes to show us, friends, that Jesus not only healed multitudes, he healed individuals. He cares about people. It wasn't just masses of people and just another one and another one and another one and another one, but Jesus cared about each and every one of them. Amen. And he cares about each and every one of us today. Amen. Next, he puts his fingers in his ears. Now listen, the deaf man comes and the people are pleading with Jesus to touch him, but I want you to understand something. The deaf man couldn't hear what his friends were saying to Jesus. They didn't know what they were asking Jesus to do, but Jesus took the man aside away from everybody else, and I believe that one of the reasons that Jesus put his fingers in his ears was to show him, I'm going to do something to help your ears. You get that? We have something today called sign language. Do any of you know sign language, by the way? Anybody? A couple of you know some sign language? I learned about three things in sign language a long time ago. I can't remember any of them too much, but I know how to say hi. That's good. And I think you say, my name is, something like that. Anybody? You guys, is it something like that? And then you can spell your name, right? And if you do that to someone who signs, they'll think you know sign language, and they'll go like this. And you'll be going, no, I don't understand. You see, I don't know that they had sign language in Jesus' day. No doubt deaf people had to learn to communicate with people in some way. And this man had an impediment of his speech. He couldn't speak well. He could probably speak a little bit. It was probably very difficult to understand. And so he would have had a very hard time communicating. And Jesus brought him aside. He put his fingers in his ear. And I believe Jesus was trying to show him, I'm going to help you hear. You see it? He's communicating with them. He's wanting him to know that what's about to happen is going to come from me. I believe you see the same thing when he spits and then touches the man's tongue. He's letting him know, I'm going to help you not only to hear, but I'm going to help you to speak. And then Jesus, it seems to me that he is standing next to the man, he puts his fingers in his ear, he spits, he touches his tongue, and then he looks up to heaven, and I believe what he's trying to communicate to the deaf man is, my power comes from God. Amen. I'm going to help you hear, I'm going to help you speak, and I want you to know that I am from God. And then he sighs. He sighs, he groans, and I believe that he's showing the man that the Spirit of God is coming from God through Jesus on the man. I think there's a great picture here. Friend, it's the power of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that has done everything in our lives. Amen. You're saved because God sent Jesus, and through the power of the Spirit, he saved you. If you're ever going to live for the Lord, it's going to be because God sent Jesus and you trusted in him. And through the power of the Spirit, you can live for him day by day. All of his power, all of his hearing, healing, all of it comes from God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God. And he's showing him, it's coming from God through me to help you. And then, verse 34 again, he says, looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Verse 35 says, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now, you can believe whatever you want to, but I tend to believe that the man heard Jesus say, Ephphatha. And maybe he didn't. Maybe it was at the end of it. Maybe it was after he said it that he began to hear. But I know this, immediately that man could hear. They're up on a mountainside. Jesus was over here and the multitudes together. He brought the man over to the side and all of this took place. And as soon as Jesus said, be open, his ears were open and his tongue was loose. And immediately the man began to hear the sounds that were going on around him. And maybe it had been months or maybe it had been years or maybe it had been decades since the man heard anything. But when Jesus said, be open, his ears were open. And he could hear the multitude over across where they were. And he could hear the birds singing. He could hear the wind rustling in the leaves. Man, he could hear for the first time and who knows how long, but Jesus said, be open, and his ears were opened. Man, can you imagine, friends? I just wonder if any of you ever had stopped up ears? Amen. And some of you are having trouble with your hearing these days. Anybody? Amen. Do a favor for all of us. Go get you some hearing aids. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. I'm telling you, there's been just a couple of times in my life I had ear infections in both ears and I couldn't hear anything and it drove me nuts. And those days when it starts to get better and your ears clear up and you can hear again, it's such a relief. I can't imagine going days, weeks, months, years, decades without being able to hear. But when this man met Jesus and he said, be open, his ears were immediately open. Some of you are going to laugh. But I can't imagine what it'd be like to not be able to talk. I'm not saying that I can talk plain, because I can't sometimes, but to not be able to speak. Listen, it's bad enough to not be able to hear, but to not be able to speak, to not be able to make someone else understand you. How frustrating that is. My uncle was in the hospital and they had all these tubes and stuff down his throat and he was awake and we would try to communicate with him. He would get so frustrated because he just wanted to say something simple, but we couldn't understand him. And it was frustrating to him. It's frustrating when you're trying to communicate and you can't get people to understand. And that's what this man had. And immediately that was taken away. Jesus opened his ears. He loosed the string of his tongue and he could speak. And he could hear, and it happened immediately because that's the power of God. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus healed his ears. Jesus healed his tongue. Jesus, through the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God, healed this man. It happened immediately. And I want you to think about this, dear friend. Some of you get tired of listening to the preaching, but how glorious it is to be able to hear the Word of God. Amen. Some of you look a little grumpy when it's time to sing, and you kind of get a little lazy and you don't sing out and you don't worship God with your heart and with your voice. And I want to tell you, friend, one of these days it might be to where you can't sing out praise to God and you're going to wish you could. Amen. What a sad thing to not be able to lift up our voices in praise to God. Amen. What a horrible thought to think I couldn't tell somebody about Jesus and his great love for us. But all of that changed in a moment for this man. Because his friends brought him to Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of great truths in this passage. Amen. They brought him to Jesus. They pleaded with Jesus to touch him. And Jesus did much more than just touch him. Jesus touched his ears and he touched his tongue and he breathed on him and he healed him. I want you to look at verse 36. Jesus took 7 steps to heal the man. He took him aside. He put his fingers in his ears. He spit. He touched his tongue. He looked to heaven. He sighed and he spoke. But then in verse 36, he gives one more charge. He charged them that they should tell no man. Now look right here. Jesus, the people bring this guy to Jesus. He takes him aside away from the multitude. He heals him. And obviously his friends are concerned, and I don't know if it seems to me that he took him aside from everybody. It was just him and Jesus. But obviously the friends were over watching to see what would happen. And they could see the reaction when Jesus said, be open. And the man could hear and the man could speak. And he goes back to his friends and Jesus says to them, his friends that brought him to Jesus and him who was healed. And he says to all of them, tell no man. I know I've done something here for you today, but don't tell anybody. And guess what happens? At Silver Dollar City, we like to visit there from time to time. There's a couple of places around there, but one place in particular by Grandfather's Mansion, there's a board on the wall, and there's a knot hole in it. And it says, above the knot hole, don't look. I've never been to Silver Dollar City and walked through that area where there wasn't somebody looking in the hole that says, don't look. I've never seen it. There's something wrong with you people. And I think about stuff like that every time I read passages like this. It's not the only time Jesus heals someone, does something miraculous for someone, that says, don't tell anybody. And he tells them, don't tell any man. But look at verse 36. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Now, I don't know if you can see this happening as you read the scriptures, friends, but this comes to life to me. Jesus charges them, don't tell anybody. But the more he charged them, you know what that means? He didn't just tell them, don't tell anybody once. He told them over and over and over again. I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. This is Jesus, the one who just healed you, said, don't tell anybody. But the more he tells them, so much the more, a great deal, they publish it. That's that word great again. We've seen that a lot here lately. It's mega. It's like they got a megaphone. And the more Jesus says, don't tell anybody, the more they go tell more people. And we read it in a few verses, but these things happen over minutes or hours or a long period of a day. And so the more Jesus says, hey, I told you guys not to tell anybody, they just go tell some more people. And he catches them again and says, I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. They just go tell some more people and more and more and more. So did they sin? I don't know. It's hard but to speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Listen, if you've really been healed by Jesus, hard not to tell somebody about it. Isn't it? You see, Jesus had a purpose. It wasn't time for him to be taken to Jerusalem. It wasn't time for him for these things to be published. Jesus did everything in a time. He had a reason to tell them, keep it quiet. But it's always amazing to me that these who Jesus said, keep it quiet, published it greatly. And every time I open my Bible, I see another command, another example that we are commanded to go and tell everyone. And it seems like to me, the more Jesus charges us to go and tell others, so much the less we publish it. If I was deaf and had an impediment of my speech, I hope I would have some friends that would take me anywhere they could to help get me help. But I've been healed of something much, much more serious than being deaf and dumb. I've been saved from the condemnation I deserve in hell and the lake of fire. He gloriously saved my soul. And I can't find in my Bible once where he told me not to tell anybody. But I can see lots of places where he tells me to go. And the reality is, friends, the more he charges us to tell people, the more, so much the more, a great deal, we should publish it. And I want you to look at verse 37. He said in verse 36, a great deal they published it in verse 37 and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And in Matthew's account, Matthew 15, 31, he says, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. They wondered. They were beyond measure astonished. And I want you to notice what he says here in Mark 7:37. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And they echo the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 35 verses 4 through 6. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecy of the Messiah who would come and do these great things. And the people from their own mouth said, the deaf hear and the dumb speak. They were amazed beyond measure because of the fulfillment of prophecy. You know, Peter, when he was preaching at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, he said, the word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. That's where Jesus is now. After the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is exactly what Peter was talking about. Jesus has gone all around Galilee, from one side to the other, and back again, and back and forth, and from Capernaum all the way up to Tyre and Sidon. Now he comes the long way around back to the Sea of Galilee through Decapolis. And what does he do? He goes about doing good. Why? So he could preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know what we have an opportunity to do every day? We can go about doing good so that we can preach the gospel. You say, well, I can't heal anybody, and I hope none of you try. But you know what you can do? You can do what you can do. You can help who you can help. Maybe you can work on somebody's car and fix it, or maybe you can mow somebody's lawn, or maybe you can fix somebody a meal and take it to them. Maybe you can stop on the side of the road and help somebody change their flat, or maybe you can just see somebody who's a little upset and you can go to them and put your arm around them and say, is everything okay? There's so many little things we can do. But we can go about doing good. And when we do that, it opens a door so we can do the best good, and that's give the gospel. We can proclaim to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I've never stopped to help somebody fix a flat that I didn't get an opportunity to share the gospel with them too. It's funny, when you're helping somebody change their flat tire, they're happy to listen to what you're saying, at least while you're working. Amen? They might not want you to talk to you after it's done. They might jump in there and take off, but while you're there helping them, they're glad to listen. And we can go about doing good. That's what Jesus did, to demonstrate his power from God to heal. But that wasn't the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose was to show that he is Messiah, the Savior of the world. And we can go about doing good, not for ourselves, but we do it for his glory and for the gospel's sake. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. If you're able, let's stand together.